The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. This is a pretty meaty discussion kind of morning here on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. And one of the biggest conspiracies hiding out in plain sight is how we're supposed to be on mostly wind and solar power. Even hydropower is just not politically popular these days. And we have to remove dams in order to, this is what, of course, Greens are looking at here. And all we need is lots of chaotic and intermittent wind power, and everything's going to be all right. And let's talk about some of the latest drama with wind energy. Capital Research Center is America's investigative think tank. And Ken Brown joins me, or Ken Braun, he's the senior investigative researcher. Ken, it's a pleasure having you on. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for the invitation, Bill. Happy to be here.
All right. Well, all we have to do in order to keep the lights on here with Pacific Power out on the West Coast here, Ken, is just, well, we know that maybe the wind power only generates power 25% of its rated capacity. It just depends. It's just the way it is. All we have to do is just build more and more and more and more of it, and we'll keep the lights on all the time. There'll be no problems. Northwest Power Council disagrees and says that grid instability is going up, but you've done a four-part investigative series on this whole wind power issue. Why don't you set the table, please?
Well, yeah, so I'm actually going through all of the likely, at the Capital Research Center, we track the flow of money in politics,
both
government into, say, wind energy companies and wind turbine makers, and then the money going out from them in a lot of cases to subsidize political nonprofits, such as, for example, the Rocky Mountain Institute. A very left-leaning green energy promoting company, so to speak, Friends of the Earth, groups like that. And so the series that we just posted is regarding the Vestas wind turbine company. It's a Danish company. And I suppose what got your attention is I used as my jump-off point a series from the Oregonian about a turbine in at the Bigelow Canyon that threw a blade that in back in February of 2022 landed like one huge one as a football field turbine blade landed in a field where a bunch of maintenance workers who had just been they were dropping off fertilizer for the farms there same park had been dropping parts from these turbines, and it wasn't just Vestas, and they also, I think, Siemens.
By the way, hey, before we move forward, hey, Ken, could you reposition your headset? Your headset is just a little, it's like you're a little soft. I want to make sure people can hear you really well. Can we do that? Could you try that?
All right, how's that? Does it work better?
Oh, yeah, much better, much better. It's like you're getting it directly. So anyway, so I remember that story when we have the turbine losing its blade, throwing it, what, the length of a football field, and it embeds into the ground. And other than that, nothing's wrong with these sort of things. Yeah, let's just cover the earth.
It's
kind of stuff.
And, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act passed a couple of years ago is, at a minimum, going to throw $400 billion at things such as this.
Uh-huh.
Estimates have gone as high as $1 trillion from Goldman Sachs because the subsidies aren't really capped. And it's hard to over-exaggerate how enormously wasteful wind energy is. It's receiving 70 times the subsidies per kilowatt hour as, say, nuclear energy, which taxpayer subsidies.
Well, nuclear energy, as you know, in Oregon, the voters voted to get away from that. So 7 times the amount of subsidies going into wind power than nuke, right?
No. 70 times. 70 times.
Oh, 70 times as much. But listen, I read the propaganda, though, coming from Pacific Power, Ken, and what they're saying, though, is that, well, the energy is practically free. In fact, wind power, green, they call it blue sky. You can actually overpay intentionally here with Pacific Power right now, and you intentionally overpay and you're buying blocks of wind power, renewable energy there, and it's so free that you have to pay more. So where's all that savings going to come from, I guess, is what I'm wondering.
I'll tell you what. A decade ago, one of the nation's larger investors in this stuff is Warren Buffett, through his Mid-American Energy Company and probably some other entities. He said in 2014, and this is a quote, wind energy, we get a tax credit if we build a lot of wind farms. That's the only reason we're build them. They don't make sense without the tax credit. Well, of course they don't. I mean, they're getting 70 times the subsidies of, you know, really the most nuclear power plants in the United States. There's no more efficient energy producing entity we have. 92.7% of the time, nuclear power, this is the Department of Energy, nuclear power plants operate. Wind turbines, as you noted, their capacity factor 25-30%. Depends on where you are.
So you have a megawatt. You have a megawatt wind tower, let's say, and it's only really putting out 250 to 300,000 kilowatts. You know, like 25-30. You know, like a third of it, maybe at best, right?
Yeah.
Oh boy. All right. Well, in this four-part series, you kind of blow it up there. I mean, the first part of it there, Ken, is wind turbines produce drama, cash, and some electricity, and you go down that Bigelow one. You have another part of the series, which is unexpected. What's the unexpected part of that, briefly? What's the unexpected aspect? Is that the accidents and the burning up of these towers or something different?
Yeah, I'm with all of these series that I'm running, I'm doing a little profile of the number of accidents, power collapses, fires, all of those natures. And you can almost do a Google search on the phrases rare and extremely rare and turbine and get pages and pages of stuff, because it's hilarious when these things come down, the companies that own them or will claim, well, this is a rare occurrence or this is an extremely rare occurrence. Well, the bandage got ripped off that about last summer when it was announced that Vestas, Siemens Gamsa, and GE were sinking into hundreds of millions of dollars in unanticipated maintenance and repair costs on their turbines because these towers were falling over. And sometimes, such as that Blade Pro at that Oregon facility that we were discussing, they can be pretty dramatic. You know, they can start fire. I mean, they're put deliberately, obviously, in windy areas. But when they catch on fire, the winds can carry flaming debris.
The fires are crazy. There, you know, there's that famous, I think you even noted in one of your articles there, Ken Braun, once again, Capital Research Center. And there was one time in which there were some engineers up on one of the turbines and it caught on fire. And there's famous photo of them kind of a last hug because they couldn't get down, right? And they kind of, you know, hugged each other on the front of the turbine before they were incinerated, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And fortunately, fatalities in these incidents have been rare. But still, you know, you have property destruction, like I mentioned, and you have, just think on what this is. These things produce so little energy for the amount of space they take up, and I should really go into that in a second. They produce so little energy for the amount of space they take up that it's kind of like, I'll put this out there. The largest wind farm in the Western Hemisphere was just announced in January. All right. It's going to take up nearly 1,600 square miles in New Mexico. That's, you know, Grand Canyon National Park nearby is 1,900 square miles. And that includes the canyon and all the park around it. So, you know, plausibly as big as the Grand Canyon, this thing is going to be. Just, 500 miles to its west is the Palo Verde nuclear reactor. Takes up 6.4 square miles, tiny little land use. Yet it already produces four times the electricity per year that largest wind turbine farm in the Western Hemisphere, in the history of, you know, the entire Western Hemisphere, is going to produce. That's how inefficient they are land use-wise. And so these fires and these turbine collapses and these blade throws and all this other drama.
And you haven't even talked about the subsonic noise problems for people that live around the turbines, too, which is well documented. That could be another part of this. It's a great series. The bottom line, though, is that no matter what, and by the way, since you talked about Warren Buffett is invested in Midwestern Energy, which is all in on Mid-American, rather, and he owns Pacific Power. No wonder he's kind of, you know, pushing this to people.
Yeah.
Okay, and by the way, I am not angry or smacking around the people that work at Pacific Power. They're working with what they have, with what they're being told, and also, frankly, from the Public Utility Commission of Oregon, which is all in on this scam. It really is, and I guess the bottom line is, you know, as we continue to have more debt, more inflation, higher costs on everything, at some point, Ken, aren't we going to have to actually do smart financial things rather than what the green unicorns would wish us to be using? Because nothing about the wind energy world is healthy without loads of taxpayer subsidies. It's the only way it works. And you detail it in this four-part series. So where do you see we go on this?
Well, as you opened with, the number, the more unreliability, not to say the word wrong, that you put on your electrical grid, the more you destabilize it. And there are warnings percolating up from federal agencies that are saying, you know, we're risking blackouts, we're taking chances here that we shouldn't. And all you have to do is look to Germany, the poster child for what happens when you overload your grid with unreliable power and then get that power cut off through a war. And, you know, they've got solar panels in Germany. I mean, Germany, I looked it up once. I live in Michigan. Thunder Bay, Ontario, which is, you know, north of Lake Superior, has about as many sunny days as most of Germany. It's crazy that they have solar panels in Germany. They're not reliable. To answer your question, one day the math is going to take over and we're going to have to reverse course.
Yeah, will we be able to reverse course before the collapse, I guess? Collapse of the grid.
Yeah, and do things and build more efficient. You know, if you really want zero carbon power, nothing's more efficient than a nuclear reactor.
Yeah, I will agree with you. I've been a big fan of.
As you said, your folks in Oregon have banned it, and they've done it because groups like, you know, Friends of the Earth and the Rocky Mountain Institute and have, you know, the Sierra Club, all these sorts of groups say they want to have carbon-free energy. Almost uniformly, all of them are opposed. We have a series, I wrote a series up, and you can look at it on our influencewatch.org website, called Opposition to Nuclear Energy. There are hundreds of groups, and some of them are the biggest names in the left-leaning nonprofits, you know, Sierra Club.
In other words, they're getting paid off of the wind subsidies too. Ultimately, right? That's the bottom line.
Vestas, the company whose blade got thrown across Oregon in that series that I mentioned. Vestas is thanked by the Rocky Mountain Institute for an annual donation in some of their annual reports. It's six figures, hundreds of $500,000.
All right. Ken, I appreciate the time. Thanks for sharing some thoughts on this one. And Ken Braun, once again, is Capital Research Center's senior investigative researcher. And it's really amazing. And he also writes, like he had mentioned, for influencewatch.org. And he writes for Capital Research Magazine, too. Previously worked for several free market policy organizations, too. And we appreciate you coming on. I'm going to link to all the series there, and thank you for your work there. Hope to have you back, okay? You be well.
Anytime, Bill. Give me a ring.
Yep, thank you. It is 7:25 on KMED and KCMD, and Ken details on how, you know, Oregon is essentially running to, like the snowball straight into hell, you know, kind of thing when it comes to energy production.
When you hire a contractor, the last worry you should have is, are they capable enough to handle the job? A well drilling contractor is no different, especially with tough drilling conditions Southern Oregon can encompass. Clouser Drilling invests in capable machinery, tooling, and personnel equipped to handle these conditions. They operate four modern rotary drill rigs with capabilities from air rotary, mud rotary, and drill and drive casing advancement systems. Combine this with over 50 years and thousands of wells drilled, and worry no more. Contact Clouser Drilling or visit Clouser Drilling.
The popularity of Fontana Roofing's metal division cannot be overstated. Well, at least it's exciting for those who get geeked by seeing metal being bent.
Okay, we'll see you soon. We've got another contractor who wants a tour of the metal shop.
How can you blame them? We're cranking out so much magical stuff, they want to peek behind the curtain.
The trick is to take it slow. There's a lot to take in, and you don't want to overwhelm them.
Yeah, they're like kids at the carnival. Ooh, check out the gutter machine.
Wow, look at all the colors and gauges they have in inventory.
There's so many profiles for roofing and siding.
Holy cow, look at that order of foundational flashing loaded on the trailer.
Whew, and now, ladies and gentlemen, the grand finale. Fontana's Mobile Metal Fabricator.
Ta-da!
Fontana Roofing is now providing guided tours of their metal shop. Please make reservations early. Bringing a sack lunch is recommended. For more information, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your Linex bedliner source. Linex is the number one rated spray-on bedliner in the world, backed with a nationwide lifetime warranty. Don't just protect it. Linex it. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority. Your one-stop accessory and protection shop.
Service is the difference with Sweetwater Sanitation, your experts for sanitation services and portable restrooms. From pumping septic tanks, grease traps, even holding tanks, Sweetwater Sanitation brings 20 years and two generations of experience. And as a DEQ-certified maintenance provider, Sweetwater Sanitation can inspect, service, and repair your septic tank, which should be pumped every 3 to 5 years. Call 541-821-1426 and visit swsmodoc.com. Sweetwater Sanitation, where service is the difference.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. This is the Bill Myers Show.
7:28 on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. We'll have some open phone time, but first things first. I want to do the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. We're going to do it at 7:30 for a change. Give a different crowd a chance to work out on this. And tomorrow, clam chowder Friday at Diner 62. You got to try the crispy chicken sandwich if you haven't done that. That's been added back into it. Great salads, wonderful taco salads there, and Cobb and Chef and Oriental chicken sandwiches, and salads rather, I should say. And right now on special, that you can get this, is the 8-ounce New York steak and eggs. They delivered that last week. Oh my goodness, it was a, I think I saw the creator. It was so good. What a great way to start your day there with steak and eggs. Good steak and eggs, all right? We'll start with caller 8-770-563-3770-KMED. That'll be right after news here on the Bill Myers Show.
Every year, over 3 million older adults are treated in emergency rooms for fall-related injuries. If you or a loved one are concerned about falling, Prestige Senior Living Arbor Place is hosting a free fall safety webinar on Friday, March 22nd at 10 a.m. The webinar will feature physical therapist Mike Studer and discuss the importance of balance and walking gait in preventing falls, along with the effects falling can have on mental health. Visit PrestigeCanHelp.com to sign up today. Again, that's PrestigeCanHelp.com.
Oregon E-Deals has saved the Rogue Valley boatloads of cash over the years on things you buy and use daily. Get a $100 Cartwright's Market gift card for only $85. Artisan Bakery certificates, normally $25, only $15. American Rancher Garage, $75 certificates, good for any service, only $30. Wayback Burgers, $25 certificate, only $14. This and much more available exclusively at OregonEDeals.com.
KMED, KCMD News, sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MillettConstruction.com.
Good morning, I'm Marcus Villa with your MSU5 Morning News Update. The Medford School District will be discussing safety and security at tonight's school board meeting. Last month, we reported some teachers and parents expressed safety concerns at the last district board meeting. It was just the day before the meeting occurred that Hedrick Middle School went on lockdown for what was later deemed a false alarm. Several educators also expressed outrage that children who exhibited aggressive behavior often face little to no consequences. According to MSD's public agenda for tonight's meeting, there will be a safety and security update. The meeting starts at 5:30 this evening. For more information, you can head to the Medford School District website. After being stuck in rural Nevada for a few days, the Rogue Valley Royals have made their way back home to Medford. The Royals were traveling back to Medford from a playoff tournament in Nevada over the weekend when their bus broke down in a remote area near Elko. One of the co-owners who was traveling with the team was able to get some travel vans to get them back home. They arrived back in Medford at around 4 a.m. Wednesday morning. One of the staff members of the team set up a GoFundMe. It has raised nearly $12,000 so far. Co-owner Allie Ruddle says the support from the community has been overwhelming, and she's grateful they were able to get everyone home safe. For local news anytime, you can head to our website, KOBI5.com, or to our Facebook page. And for NBC5 News, I'm Marcus Veal.
Hiya, Bobby.
Hi, Ken.
You want to go for a ride?
Sure, Ken.
Jump in.
I'm a Bobby girl.
732. The Diner 62 Real American Quiz. There's a reason why I'm playing Barbie Girl as the introduction to this segment here, to this contest, because it was the Barbie doll making its debut. March of 1959. All right, 1959. Let me go to Jeff. Hello, Jeff. How are you doing this morning?
Good.
Did you play with Barbies when you were a kid, Jeff? Just curious.
I don't think I did.
All right. Maybe a Ken doll? No?
No, I don't think. I got a G.I. Joe guy.
Oh, yeah. See, G.I. Joe, though, that's not a doll. That's an action figure. Remember?
Yeah.
No, in all seriousness, though, it was March 9th, 1959. First Barbie doll goes on display at the American Toy Fair. 11 inches tall, waterfall of blonde hair. Barbie, first mass-produced toy doll in the U.S. with adult features. Now, the woman behind Barbie was Ruth Handler, who co-founded Mattel with her husband in 1945. After seeing her young daughter ignore her baby dolls to play make-believe with paper dolls of adult women, Handler realized there was a niche out there, Jeff, for a toy that allowed girls to imagine the future. So Barbie was based on another doll named Lily. From what country did Lily come from? Was it A, Ireland, B, Germany, C, Sweden, or was it, D, the USA, or was it E, England? It's one of those.
Wow. Let's go with England.
Go with England, right? Not this time. I appreciate you trying, Jeff. Let me go to John here next. Hello, John. How you doing?
Hi. I'm good.
All right. Now, did you have a G.I. Joe action figure or not? Just curious.
No. I played with those little Hot Wheels and Matchbox cars when I was a kid.
Well, that's all right. So I don't know if you know this. So Barbie was based on a doll named Lily. Did Lily come from Ireland, Germany, Sweden, or the USA? What do you say?
I have no idea, but I'll go with Germany.
You'll go with Germany, and yeah! You win the Real American Quiz. Yeah. Barbie was modeled on a doll named Lily based on a German comic strip character. Now, the funny part about this is that she was originally marketed as a racy gag gift to adult men in the tobacco shops, right? And so the Lily doll later became popular with the kids. And so Mattel bought the rights to Lily, made its own version, which a Handler, you know, the person from Mattel, named after her daughter Barbara. And with its sponsorship of the Mickey Mouse Club in 1955, became one of the first toy companies to broadcast commercials to kids. And then there was so much demand that 1961, they finally produced the guy, Ken. And, of course, Ken has had a rough life, as you well know, John. He's just, you know, he's always having to give her stuff, his stuff, to Barbie, I think. But we're going to send you to Diner 62 just for knowing that, okay? Thanks very much, and hang on. And we'll have another Diner 62 quiz on Tuesday, all right, 7:35. Now, this means that open phones on Conspiracy Theory Thursday, a very dangerous time, that'll be coming up next. Jump on it.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
Hi, it's Jason at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. If you're wondering about the condition of your tires, stop in and we'll check your tread level and give you an honest assessment on wear and ability to navigate icy, slick roads. And if you need new tires, Phoenix Auto Center has a great selection of top brands like General, Hercules, Cooper, Falcon, Mastercraft, BF Goodrich, and more. For the best tire prices and service, see your local family-owned Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main in Phoenix.
If you're remodeling your house, start with the foundation. Millett Construction offers a no-pressure, thorough inspection of your home's foundation and a no-obligation estimate if your house needs work. The foundation is most important because all of the repairs and upgrades you're planning, from the floors, windows, doors, cabinets, even the roof, can be affected if your foundation is unstable. Be sure you're on solid ground. Millett Construction will level your house and correct the shifting soil problem. Visit MilletteConstruction.com.
Hi, it's Scuba Steve with Bicoastal Media and KMED. Today I'm chatting with Nick Jones, the principal of Jones & Associates Premier Financial Solutions. Thanks for talking with me today. Nick, should folks be concerned about long-term care?
Actually, long-term care is a topic we all need to think long and hard about, because today people are just simply living longer. In fact, 40% of all Americans will spend some time in a care facility of some sort. And one solution I find myself recommending is life insurance with a long-term care benefit rider, also called asset-based care. We use this solution because the premiums are consistent and the benefits never decrease. So again, consider life insurance with a long-term care benefit to help you with those needs.
Once again, this is Scuba Steve sitting with Nick Jones from Jones & Associates Premier Financial Solutions. If you have questions like these or others, schedule a strategy session with Nick at jonesfinancialtalk.com. Again, that's jonesfinancialtalk.com.
Hi, I'm Amber Rose from Siskiyou Pump Service, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
106.3 KMED. 99.3 KCMD. And this is the Bill Meyer Show. Just my
imagination. No, it's not your imagination. It's a crazy time, and I'm happy to take your call. 770-5633, 770-KMED. Thank you, Mr. Tott. He likes to play with his audio editor, and he's quite good at it, by the way. Really? You got a future there, my friend. All right, 770-5633. Before I get to open phones on Conspiracy Theory Thursday, I wanted to dispel a conspiracy theory which is coming in here. A lot of people have been writing me about the Medford Water Commission. Now, we have pretty good water quality here in Southwest Oregon, at least coming from Medford. And everyone's starting to plug into it, right? Like Gold Hill is going to have to build a pipeline here. But there was a lot of talk about increasing the pH. This was a story out the last few days because they're putting sodium hydroxide in the water to raise the pH and make Medford water less acid, less acidic, even though it's not acidic, but it's just, you know, taking it from 7.3 pH up to 7.8 using sodium hydroxide. Now, in all the news stories that we're talking about, they're saying, well, they're using sodium hydroxide to raise the pH. Well, if you remember high school chemistry, sodium hydroxide is lye. It's the stuff that's used in drain cleaner, right? And so I'm getting all these people that are writing me all the time kind of worried about this. What, we're putting lye in the water? Well, yeah, a tiny bit. It's sort of like salt. Salt is actually quite dangerous. If you eat nothing but salt, then you kill your kidneys and you're dead. You know, that sort of thing. And if you have a really high concentration of sodium hydroxide, you can use it as a drain cleaner, but it, you know, will eat up the grease and the hair and open up the drain. But that's not the way it comes out in your water. It's just a little bit at a time. It's the dilution factor of it. And they're trying to make the water less corrosive, raise the pH a little bit. And I'll give you an example on how raising the pH would have been helpful. Remember Flint, Michigan, and the water system that they had there with the pipes, the lead pipes, and they were getting corroded by the water, and a lot of kids got sick, damaged by lead poisoning from it. Now, I'm not saying that's what Medford has. That's not the problem, but that reduces the tendency to corrode out the old pipes that are in the system and leaching minerals and metals into the system. So this is a good plan. Believe me, of all the things you can have get wrapped up and worried about, sodium hydroxide in the water is a good thing. It's just a little bit. It's enough to raise the pH to the point where it's less corrosive. And by the way, speaking of the corrosion aspect, this is just a personal experience I've had that I will highly recommend. If you have a hot water heater, there's always a sacrificial anode inside those things that help the tank not rust out and corrode out before it's time. They normally come from the factory with aluminum sacrificial anodes. And then every few years, you're supposed to pull it out and put in. They look like rods. They're like aluminum rods. If you really want to reduce the corrosion of your water heater, my experience has now been you go out and pay more for the magnesium. You pay more for a magnesium anode rather than aluminum. And besides, I'd rather have magnesium in my water supply coming into the house than aluminum byproducts anyway. But I have one of these heat pump water heaters and paid a lot of money for it. It's been working great for me. Also saves me quite a bit of energy, given how high the energy rates are. So I ended up switching from the aluminum one. I'd had the aluminum anode in it, you know, for a couple of years. And I was always, when I would drain the tank every few months just to flush out the sediment on the bottom, it was always rusty. So the tank was rusting, in spite of the fact that there was the sacrificial anode. I put the magnesium one in there. It's always clean. The water's always clean coming out. It's more expensive, and you'll have to replace it more often. But I imagine the plumbers might agree with me. And if you disagree with me, plumbers, let me know. But ever since I put sacrificial anode in there of magnesium, it's been really good. I'm getting clean water coming out of the bottom, or mostly clean, instead of a lot of sediment. So there we go. A couple of conspiracies to throw out there at you. Michael Shaw's here. Hey, Michael, what's on your mind, huh? Go ahead.
Well, about a month or so ago, I had called you in regards to what was deemed to be the this anti-money laundering act that called the Corporate Transparency Act that our wonderful government hid inside of the National Defense Authorization Bill.
And this is something that requires small businesses to fill out reports, right?
Basically, very extensive and intrusive, you know, things like driver's license number, social security number, so on and so forth. Not just saying Michael Shaw owns 100% of Premier Packaging and Shipping.
Right.
So, yes, I'm sorry, on Tuesday I sent you a link. A federal judge in Alabama just slapped that down, saying it was unconstitutional, which I wholeheartedly agree with.
That is great news, because one of the things that irritated me most is that I love how it was assumed that it's only small businesses that are in danger of money laundering, not J.P. Morgan Chase, as an example, right?
Right. Well, also, it was hidden inside of the National Defense Authorization Act. So if this was such a good thing, why wouldn't they put it out there by itself instead of hiding inside of a massive military spending bill? That was, number one, that really, you know, set me off. And number two is about all the details they wanted. They wanted to know my DNA or something. But this ties in with the second topic that I talked to you about the other day, is Cliff needs to put forth a bill. One bill, one item. They hid it in the defense bill. They couldn't talk about it openly. Anything that's got to be kept in the shadows, in the dark, is not to be trusted.
Agreed. Next time I talk with Cliff, I will talk with him about that. I'm going to make a note. And also, Patrick's always wanted me to talk about the CBDCs, the central bank digital currency. And this would appear to be unconstitutional right from the beginning, because Congress is the one that should be setting such policy, not J.P. Morgan Chase or Goldman Sachs or any of the others. Okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Good call. Thanks for letting me know. But I'm glad to know that the federal judge struck that down. That's great news on that. Because it was only affecting, they only went after small businesses. It's almost as if, gee, they don't want small businesses to exist. We should all be Amazon here, Michael.
Right. Well, if you remember what we talked about on it, it excluded banks. It excluded insurance companies. It excluded large corporations. It was just these, quote unquote, we're going to assume that you're guilty, small businesses, guys, that they were going after.
Right. I appreciate the call. Thanks for letting me know. 7:45, let me go to line one on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Dangerous time. Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is Jason.
Jason, what's on your mind?
Hey, Bill, I heard earlier the gentleman call in talking about the 15-minute cities, and there is a new development in that. I wish I could say it's conspiracy, but I think we all know by now that Agenda 21 and all that really isn't conspiracy. It's a true plan.
It's just been been part of the plan. They're in the open about it if you just go and read. You have to read, though. You're not going to get it out of your local newscast.
But there is a new development, and I've been involved in commercial real estate development in three western states over the years, and we're putting up a new building. It's always, how many parking spots do we need?
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been a battle, you know, building, you know, planners always have said, well, we need, you know, 20. And we're like, well, we think we need 15 or, you know, whatever it might be. There's usually a disagreement there. But now the trend, and there 50 major U.S. cities in the United States now have quit requiring parking. And the reason is they figure, hey, if people can't park, they're going to quit buying cars and they're going to take mass transit. State of California has now, they used to require, you know, a certain amount of parking near mass transit hubs, and that is no longer required. So I think this is something that's probably not out there much, but, you know, parking is pretty necessary, especially to people that, you know, like to drive cars and mm-hmm. want to be mobile. And we need to make sure that doesn't find its way into the city of Medford and Jackson County.
I would agree, because when you eliminate, and even the city of Medford, though, has been trying to eliminate on-street parking or making it very difficult to use on-street parking, even though that's what people want. They want you, the city, though, prefers people parking in the parking prisons, as I call them, you know, where no woman at night feels safe. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
And, of course, even a lot of guys, too. Thanks for bringing that up. And the elimination of parking requirements. Interesting. Let me go to line three here next. Hello, KMED, KCMD. Good morning.
Hey, Bill. It's Michael Torgerson. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Michael. Welcome. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to thank you for the discussion about water heaters this morning, because Sacrificial Anode is now my new band name.
It is?
It is.
Did you seriously make it Sacrificial Anode before?
No. No, that's what I'm going to be starting to call it.
I love it. Well, I'm glad I could give you a good name, though, Sacrificial Anode.
Now, and our first single is going to be Sediment at the Bottom.
Oh, you're funny. I love that. You know, but it is something to keep in mind. It's just something that I've just experienced myself, and I don't know if a plumber can confirm this or not, but magnesium sacrificial. Now, what it is that when it says sacrificial anode, it's the, you know, this pipe of metal that goes into the water heater, and so it corrodes because of the water instead of your tank. That's the whole idea. You know, it helps your water tank live much longer. And ever since I put a magnesium one in there, I get no more rust coming out of the bottom of the tank, and it's really interesting. So it's because magnesium is a more active metal than aluminum. It takes more to corrode the aluminum. So that's the story there. Okay.
Yeah, they also use those on the bottoms of ships that ply the oceans a lot. It keeps the actual ship from rusting away.
Yeah, good stuff. And so I'm looking forward to the first single, Sediment at the Bottom from Sacrificial Anode, the new hot
Absolutely.
Punk band in Southern Oregon. Huh?
Have a great day.
You too. All right, 770-5633, 770-KMED. It's open phones on Conspiracy Theory Thursday, and you're at the Bill Meyer Show.
Are you adventure ready? Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your source for overlanding, off-road, and outdoor lifestyle products, featuring quality options for rooftop tents, racks, bumpers, winches, and recovery gear, LED lighting, dual battery systems, onboard compressors, cargo cases, coolers, and refrigerators. They also offer camp stoves, scuttles, fire pits, tables, and chairs, so you're prepared once you've reached your destination. Stop by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your department of adventure.
Coming up on the next Hughes Lumber, when 2x4s get together, only one thing can happen. Walls get built. Check out the studs, followed by contractors and do-it-yourselfers, featuring lumber, hardware, and siding. Starring decks, additions, and ADUs. It's the return of home enhancements. But watch out for that knotty pine. Get the best build for your buck values at Hughes Lumber, your top show for quality, price, selection, service. So don't miss Hughes Lumber on Crater Lake Highway next to Garrison's.
Retired or retiring soon? How much money do you need to live comfortably? Retirement Planners of America is here for you. Would you like to have financial peace of mind? Here's how. Step 1. Find out the amount of money you'll need to retire. Step 2. Have a plan to get there. Step 3. Make sure that plan can take advantage of market gains but protect you from market losses. Discover how to do all three with a free consultation at 800-508-6108. That's 800-508-6108.
All investments involve risk, including losses. Past performance does not guarantee future results.
If he does not have funds to pay off the judgment, then we will ask the judge to seize his assets.
You may get what you want.
Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed. That's the Eighth Amendment.
You may not want the unforeseen circumstances.
There's nothing there.
Today we prove that no one is above the law.
Investors don't have to go to New York. They have other choices.
Was the goal worth it?
Donald Trump is being targeted solely because he is running for president and he's not a Democrat.
Join the debate.
Why would I take the risk?
On KMED at 99.3 KCMD.
The Bill Meyer Show. 106.3 KMED. 99.3 KCMD.
Anytime I can have a bumper song with Hammond B3, I'm a happier guy. Anyway, it's 752-770-5633, 770-KMED. By the way, you know, back to the sacrificial anode, the difference between the aluminum and the magnesium one, maybe that is the conspiracy theory that the water heater manufacturers of America say, yeah, we know that magnesium will work much better and protect the tanks, but we'll make more money if we put aluminum sacrificial anodes in there. They'll corrode more quickly, or the tank will corrode more quickly, and then we get to sell more water heaters at $1,400 a pop or more, especially if it's a, well, you know, all we have to do is warranty it for 5 years, I think is what most of them do, right? Maybe that's a, we'll have to talk to Grover's about that. Maybe Grover's knows that conspiracy. Let me go to Wild Sam and Steve. How you doing, Steve? Welcome to the show. What's up?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Great show this morning.
Thank you.
Talking about electricity, you get that email from Pacific Power about how awful you are, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're talking about the ways that I can save power. And, you know, I'm already an all-electric home. You'd think that they'd be happy that I was just a good customer. But it's I'm never good enough, though. I never am. It's just the way it is.
Well, yeah, my current one says I use $94 worth of electricity, but an efficient house uses $33. So what they're telling us is that we are going to end up with only a third as much electricity as we're using right now.
That would seem to be what they're trying to condition people to budget for or to prepare for. And then when they're out of power, then because of going to intermittent and catastrophic, you know, just weird power, you know, that stuff that's just not on all the time, they'll blame you for it.
Well, if you go to the EIA webpage, Energy Information Agency, and you go to Pacific Core West, and you drill down on that page, it gives the breakdown of the sources of electricity. And our demand forecast, or demand rate, well, it's from March 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Demand was 2,590 megawatts per hour, and the net generation is 456.
So most of it's being imported here, right?
It's mostly being imported, but they don't want us to do that. And if you follow down the line, most of it is coming from Wyoming and Montana.
Now, most of that is coal power, is it not?
A big part, it's going less. They're putting in more of those wind farms and stuff in that area because they're, you know, east of the Rockies where the wind slides down the east coast of the Rockies. But probably 20% at this point is coal. It's a little bit difficult. They're playing games with that.
Yeah, they're playing hide the coal in the statistics. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they do that.
Yes. So anyway, it's not really a theory. It's what they're doing. And they're doing it. You know, the only reason I can think of they're doing this is they're trying to run people out of this area because they want it to be a playground for the rich and famous.
That's one of the best theories that I've heard for a long time. But yet,
well,
even some of the rich and famous are moving out of here, though, right?
Well, but you know, they can have their hunting lodge or their fishing lodge on the Rogue River or whatever. They'll figure out a way to get what they want. And, you know, they'll have their own generator or whatever is, because they don't really care how much it costs. You know, we're talking about the Warren Buffett-sized people of the world, the billionaires. They, you know, so what if it costs them $300 a month to run their generator? They don't care. And they'll get some kind of a carve-out to be able to do that where you and I can't. And my whole thought on this crazy global warming thing is that's really a way to get rid of the small people so that the rich people have a place to play, because right now we can go anywhere in the world. You know, an average, I don't know, average, above average person can go anywhere in the world.
Oh, yeah, you can travel. You can. In other words, I'll just cut to the chase on this one. Really, what the global warming agenda is about, or the climate change, however they wish to term it, is to get it to the point where the elite can truly live like elites once again, because it's not a fun world to be an elite when your typical middle-class person is able to get about 90 to 95% of the stuff that you do. Isn't that really what you're talking about?
They're in their own prison. They're in their own compounds, you know. They they can't go anyplace because people recognize them. And so...
Will you agree with me, though, that essentially a standard good middle-class person is able to travel, is able to travel long distances, is able to, you know, eat good food? And what's the point of being elite if the people, if the little people, the ones that you want to look down your nose at, the deplorables, are able to live reasonably well? Because what's the point of being elite then if you don't have anybody to look down?
That's the only thing that makes any sense about this. It's not, there's no economic sense about it. There's no really environmental sense about it. It's just to make it so that the elites have some place to go.
Yeah, all right. Interesting point. Thanks for doing that, Wild Sam and Steve. Jeff is in Selma. Hello, Jeff. What's on your mind?
Hey, Bill, you know the 15-minute city thing, right? If you go back to early America, that's what they had. So maybe we're just returning to the old ways. I mean, I remember being a little kid and walking with Grandma down the street to go to the little grocery store. That was before the supermarkets. But the difference is everything will be owned by mega corporations and controlled.
Kind of a United States company town?
Well, a global company town.
Oh, global. Yeah, United States won't matter because United States is a bad idea too, according to, you know.
I mean, back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, even the 70s, I mean, it was a good thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had the little mom-and-pop shops on just about every corner. And of course, they're going to eliminate the gas stations, so you won't have any of those. But, you know, it'll be a better time, Bill. It'll be just like old times.
Well, I will concede your point, though, about... okay, I'll give you an example. I told you how I grew up in Western Pennsylvania. I was born in Western Pennsylvania. And I was born in New Kensington, and I grew up for the first 3 or 4 years of my life. I was in my Grandma Protek's house, and that was in Logan's Ferry Heights. Have you ever heard of Logan's Ferry?
Nope.
Okay.
No, sir, have not.
Little enclave of about probably 300-400 people. It used to be part of, it was like a company town for the coal mine that used to be open there, you know, years ago. It's where all the people lived, and they bought their houses and they built there.
The Odger sold at the company store.
Pretty much. But it was a nice place, and people didn't have as many cars or as much mobility in those days. It was expensive, and even then, when my grandma wanted some milk or eggs or whatever it is, says she gave me the money, said, Billy, go walk down to Mildred's. Mildred Ostrowski had her little store, which was competing with the A&P, you know, the bigger store in New Kensington a few miles away, but that was farther away. So you paid a little more at Mildred's, but and it was one of those places where, like, kind of like a European city in which Mildred and her family lived upstairs and the grocery store was down below, you know, one of those kind of things. And
right.
you walked to it and you walked back. And it worked okay, but nobody forced us to do it. But now it appears they want to force us to do it. I guess that's the difference. Maybe that's what we're talking about here.
Lacking a little freedom in your decisions here?
Yeah. And believe me, if anybody could afford to get the car, you did. Like, there was a big, the guy that, my mother who's listening, she'll laugh about this. One of my dad's friends was Big Pete Konupchik, a big Russian guy. You know, had hair growing out of, you know, hair growing out of his shirt, you know, like one of those kind of guys, big, meaty Russian. And he had a 1959 Cadillac Coupe de Ville convertible. Oh, man, I got to tell you, that was the most beautiful car in the world. And, of course, he was looked at as the elite because, ooh, new money. You know, he's got the 59 Cadillac.
Russian elite?
Yeah. Well, maybe he was Russian mob back then. I didn't know it. Yeah. Thanks, Jeff. I love that story. Big Pete. Yeah, everybody had a nickname like that. Big Pete. Tiny. You know, all that kind of stuff. A minute after 8, let me go to another call before news, but I love that. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Hey, Bill, Bob, quick bite at the apple, second one.
Hi, Bob.
I want my sacrificial anode to be made of magnesium, calcium, zinc, and iron, and then filter it through a pound of hamburger, and I won't have to take a multivitamin every day.
Oh, just turn the water on, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, good thought.
All right, Bill.
See you. It's a couple minutes after 8. KMED, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KCMD, Grants Pass. You also heard Translator K294AS Ashland at 106.7 FM.